Blog Talk Radio.
Voice of Destiny brings you your favorite Christian authors, speakers, and filmmakers each week. Listen in as our guests teach and encourage, listeners share their stories, and we go live to the front lines of what God is doing across the world. Now, get ready for the Voice of Destiny.
For all of our listeners, I want to throw out a question. Do you feel frustrated? Do you feel frustrated sometimes that you just cannot hear the voice of God? I know so many Christians struggle with it. This is a common thing that so many believers deal with every day, feeling I feel like I cannot hear God, like heaven is silent. I'm praying and my prayers don't go above the ceiling. What is wrong? What is going on? You know, is God in this idea that, well, you know, God's sovereign, he'll do what he'll do, and if he'll speak when he wants to speak. I've got good news for you, for those of you who are listening. I believe that our guest today, Daniel Norris, has written a message, and even as I'm saying this, I feel, Daniel, that the Holy Spirit's going to anoint your book. It's called Receptivity, and there's a powerful anointing on this message to really help unlock the ears of believers, because here's the thing I want to tell you, and here's the thing we're going to be talking about. For those of you who are listening, listen in. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. He's a speaking God. The question is, are we listening? And Daniel Norris, who is our guest, has written this book called Receptivity. It's not about trying to beg God to speak to you. It's about tuning in to hear his voice. So it's such an honor to have you on the show today, Daniel.
I'm honored to be there with you as well, Larry, and so thankful to everybody that's tuning in and listening. And I really do believe this is a God ordained moment. There's people that are listening in right now.
Yeah.
And the moment you said that it's possible that I can hear from God, that he actually is speaking, he's got something to say, I think their ears just perked up, because I believe that every single one of us, yeah, deep down really want a connection with God, so much so that it's like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And I've got good news, as you said it already, he's speaking, and we can tune in and listen.
Well, and again, For those of you who listen to the show regularly, I typically have questions that we go through, and, you know, it's a standard interview show. We get a lot of good conversation going. I feel, Daniel, even from the moment you and I talked before, I do feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do something very unique today. He does that all the time. You know, he does it in all of our shows, everything that we do. But today, I feel like this message is something that the Spirit of God wants to really just penetrate into your heart. So, Daniel, are you okay just kind of flowing today? I feel like the
Absolutely.
Lord wants to lead us in this. And the first thing I wanted to ask you is this. Have you ever felt like so many, I think, of us have felt before? Have you ever felt like, goodness, I feel like heaven is silent, God's not talking, what's the deal? Have you ever been there, and how did you get out of that?
Yeah, I think that's true for, you know, every single one of us, especially whenever you come into Christianity and, you know, you're invited to this relationship with Christ. Maybe you got radically saved and it was such a phenomenal, you know, just life-changing experience. And then maybe you walk through a dry season. And during that time, you're like, Lord, what's changed here? You know, the truth is that God is always speaking. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said that God's never silent. He called it the constant speaking voice of God, that God's voice goes out, you know, from the very first day that he spoke at creation and said, let there be light. Light went forth, and it's never been extinguished. The same is true with his word, that, you know, his voice is always out there. It's just that we're not listening to it. And, you know, I had a good friend. Honestly, the book comes out of a time where I had a dear friend of mine who medically he's on kidney dialysis 3 times a week. And, he told me, he said, Daniel, this has been his entire life, ever since he was 7 years old, now he's, you know, in his mid-30s. He said, Daniel, he said, one thing that this adversity has taught me is to be a good sitter. Because I can sit in a chair and, you know, for hours because I have to. He says, but it's taught me to wait upon the Lord. And he says, I have found that my ears opened up and I can hear. And he challenged me to take some time to sit. And it was during a season in my life and my wife's life where we're going through a real, you know, a time where we were walking through some real adversity, nothing like his. But, and so I went to the sanctuary at the church and I sat down in the sanctuary and I said, Lord, I'm going to sit here every single day until I truly know that I'm hearing your voice. So I sat for 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And it was about 2.5 weeks into it. And it wasn't that I wasn't learning and praying during that time, but it really was just learning to just quieten myself and just wait upon the Lord. And then about 2.5 weeks into it, the scripture opened up like it had never opened up to me before. My prayer life just went to a whole different place. And I found that it's not that God was silent. It's just that I was so busy with life. I was so busy with all the things, all the noise, that taking that time to really find that secret place was essential. And then once there, you know, it really has. It's changed that relationship that I enjoy with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is, for those of you who are listening, I encourage you, in the book, Daniel goes through this in great detail, showing you specific ways God speaks. You know, I heard, I think it was Chris Vallotton who said this, God's first language is not English. It's not even Hebrew. The reality is, and maybe you could expound upon this a little more, Daniel, because I think so many people are either thinking of, okay, God's going to speak to me in kind of this audible voice, kind of like the Ten Commandments type movie, or I think in our Christian culture, even in our charismatic culture, we've either got the audible voice, or we have this phrase we call the inward witness, this peace in my heart, this knowing, this stillness. But let me ask you this: are there other ways that God speaks? Because I think that'll really be freeing to people.
Yeah, there is. You know, and I give five different ways that God speaks in the book. And this has been real helpful for me, and I've shared it with a lot of people. And over the years, they're like, "Man, it's life changing for them in the process." And you know, the first way that I always say, you know, that those five ways is God will speak through your feelings.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, we're not led by our feelings, but unfortunately, for many of us, it's the first way that God can get a hold of us. And many people have experienced this. Those, you know, that have experienced salvation, they can remember being in a service, they hear a message, they feel conviction, they feel unsettled, they feel uneasy, and they're like, something's wrong, something needs to change. What is that? It's God speaking through the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to their feelings, trying to provoke them to make a change.
Yeah.
And, you know, feelings are fickle. We've got to be careful about being led by them, but God will often, you know, sometimes you get that peace. I write in the book about a time where I wake up in the middle of the night, I think it's like 3 a.m. in the morning, and I just shot up out of bed. I'm wide awake, and I'm uneasy about something and completely alert. And instead of getting back into bed and trying to, you know, settle myself back down, I notice that something is wrong in our backyard. And step out, look outside the window, and realize that our back deck had caught on fire.
Wow.
And within minutes of losing our entire house, but I believe that was the Holy Spirit arousing me, awakening me, using feeling, you know, to be able to get my attention. And that's, you know, one of the first ways that God speaks. Another way that God will speak is through signs. You know, it can be circumstances, doors opening, doors closing. It might be a vision, a dream, you know, that God will use. It could be another way that God will speak. He'll speak through others. I believe that God uses people to speak to us. He uses authority. He'll use his prophets. He uses pastors. Every time I go into a church service, and I'd invite everyone who's listening in, that whenever you step into church this weekend or this week, when you sit down, go with the expectation that the person who's going to be sharing today, it's not just a person speaking to me, but it's somebody who's spent time with the Lord, and what comes out of their mouth is a word from God for me.
Yeah.
And so I want to treat it that way. I want to receive from that. You know, another way that God speaks, and this is the most sure way, is through the word, the written word, you know, the printed word. You know, God made it very clear, very plain. There's never a time, if anyone ever says, man, I need a word from the Lord, grab your Bible and open it up, you know, and within a few pages, I promise you, it will be speaking to you exactly where you're at. And then the last way that I share with people that God speaks is through the still small voice.
Yeah.
That inner voice where God speaks. And I believe that that is the voice that the Lord really wants us receptive to. That's the one that Jesus said, anything unless I see the Father doing it, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father saying it. He lived in that place where he was always attentive, receptive to the Father's voice. And so those are just five ways that God speaks. And you know, I think every way that we see that God speak will fit into one of those five categories.
Yeah, and I like what you said. Talking about feelings or signs, those types of things, because immediately, I think a lot of believers don't even think that God will use those things, because they're thinking, well, I'm not supposed to be led by feelings. I'm not even really supposed to be led by signs. And you clarified, no, we're not led by feelings. We're not led by signs. But one thing I want to encourage you guys, based on what Daniel is just sharing, is we got to pay attention. We got to keep our eyes and ears open And really, all we just need to live mindful that Holy Spirit can use anything. He can use anyone, like Daniel was saying. And we just need to walk with that awareness, which is why I really love the whole premise of this book, being receptive to the voice and the movement of the Holy Spirit, being tuned in. So let me ask you this question. What are the things that war against us hearing? Because here's the thing. I mean, you and I are talking about a sure reality. God's always talking. God is not, he is not dumb in terms of he is speaking. He is not mute. But, you know, Daniel, what do you observe as some of the things that war against us hearing God effectively?
Yeah, you know, let me set this up by, you know, sharing a story that my mentor, Steve Hill, he writes the foreword for the book, great revivalist, a phenomenal man of God. And I was in his office and he was sharing with me that of the time that he was sitting across the desk from Leonard Ravenhill. And Ravenhill, great revivalist, you know, wrote Why Revival Tarries, phenomenal man of God as well. And Steve is sharing about being in his office. Now, here I am sitting in Steve's office as well. Yeah. And so I'm kind of in that position that Steve was in, where he's sitting across from Ravenhill. Here I am sitting across from Steve. And Steve's recounting the story of being with Ravenhill. And he says this. He says, Daniel, he said, Leonard looks at me and he says, I want to share something with you, Steve. It's very important. And he says, get up and come over here. And so Steve gets up from where he is and he walks across to the other side of the desk where Ravenhill is sitting. And Ravenhill says, closer, Steve. And so Steve bends down and he gets closer to Ravenhill. And even still, Ravenhill says, closer. And so Steve bends in even closer. And then Ravenhill kind of, you know, and he's an elderly man at the time. He says, closer.
Wow.
And so Steve positions himself to where he's got his ear right up against the lips of Ravenhill. Incredibly uncomfortable to be there. You know, not a place that you naturally want to be, but it's the exact position that Ravenhill wanted Steve before he shared what he was about to. And then he says this. He says, Steve, the Lord has secrets. He's whispering this at a hushed tone. He says, the Lord has secrets, but he doesn't shout his secrets.
Wow.
You've got to live so close that you can hear his gentle whispers. And when you ask the question about what are the things that hinder us, what are the things that, you know, distract us, they're the things that try to pull us away from that intimate place, you know, staying right there at the lips of our Father in heaven, you know, and to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. And so what are some of the things? Well, you know, Jesus kind of shares this in the parable of the sowers, which is Luke chapter 8. He speaks of the different types of soils, and this is really what the book is kind of based on. He speaks about, you know, the seed is thrown out amongst the ground, which is hard, the hardened path. And I liken that to a mind that's made up on wrong things, the hard-headedness or the hard-heartedness. And, you know, there are things that we might have made our mind up on which are incorrect, which will actually delete and deactivate faith in our life. And so we're not receptive to being able to hear things because we've already made up our mind on that. So we've got to be careful that we make up our mind on truth, and that we're solid on that, but yet don't become so harsh on things that, you know, that aren't true.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, if somebody's made up their mind that says, well, God doesn't heal today. Well, it's going to be really hard for them to hear a word of healing.
Yeah, that's
good. They're going to put it off because they're so hardened to that. Another thing that Jesus shares, you know, he speaks of the seed that falls amongst the rocks. And Jesus likens this to the, you know, the cares of life. And you know, he speaks of the weeds, you know, and he speaks of the doubts and the disbeliefs and the things that come up to rob. And so we've got to be careful as well about the worries of life, the distractions of life, the doubts. Doubt is a huge thing. You know, doubt really is the thing that comes to challenge faith, it to foster unbelief in us. Again, doubt will deactivate faith. James writes that a double-minded man is like a wave tossed around by the wind. I find more times than not that probably is the biggest single thing that most believers live with, is that they're double-minded. They hear God say something, but then they challenge it with their own doubts. They're like, well, I don't know if God really meant that. You know, I don't really know if that's really true. I don't know if that's just me. And so what they do is they find themselves sitting in a place of debate instead of moving forward. And faith, we know, faith is always seen by your actions. It's always seen by moving forward. It's when God speaks, you move. That's faith.
Yes. Yes.
Doubt says, well, I'm not so sure about that. You know, and so you sit back and you find yourself, you know, getting in that realm of doubt, and it really does, you know, diminish your ability to be able to hear his voice and put you in a realm of unbelief.
Let me ask you this, because, again, these are practical things that every believer needs to know? Because I do believe earnestly that books like this are being released, and you know, people like you, Daniel, are being released in this hour because so many people are God is speaking, and again, the ears need to be unlocked.
Yeah.
And again, a word like this, I believe, carries an anointing to do that. You talk about something very interesting in the book. Before I talk about that, before I go on to this next subject, which I think might lead us more toward the end of our time together, can you explain what is the word receptivity? I mean, I'm sure all of us have a basic idea of what that means, but what does it mean in the context of your book and really the message that the Lord is communicating through this, receptivity?
Yep. I take that right out of Luke chapter 8, and when Jesus shares the message of the parable of the soils, he starts by saying, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear, and then he shares the parable, and then he finishes it by once again saying, let he who has ears, let him hear. In a sense, it's a way of saying, I need you to pay attention to what I'm saying, and then at the end saying, did you hear what I actually said?
Yeah.
And the crowd goes away that day, you know, having just gotten a hold of a parable, and that's it. And then the disciples come up later. It's interesting, in an intimate setting, just them and Jesus, which is where we've got to learn to get to.
Yeah.
And they come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, what did you mean by that parable? And Jesus looks at him and says, man, if you don't get this, you don't get anything. He said, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are fully disclosed. He said, it's like a light in the darkness. It shines out. He says, everything's been given unto you. To them, I give it in the parable, but to you, it's fully disclosed. And then he breaks down the parable, but he says this to the disciples. He says, therefore, I'm telling you, take heed how you hear. In other words, I'm doing everything on my end. I've fully made the secrets of the kingdom available. My secrets, they're yours. Everything is yours that you need is right here. Now it's up to you to take heed how you hear. And that is what it means to be receptive. He's done his part. We've got to do our part. We've got to do everything on our end to tune in to where we're able to say, wait a minute, I can hear. I know exactly what it is that he's saying, and I'm receptive to that, very much like the dial on a radio that has to be tuned in to get the signal. You know, I think this is like chapter 8 in the book where I talk about the fact that, you know, right now where everybody is sitting who's listening to this broadcast, there is an incalculable amount of signals that are flying through the air around you, radio signals, cell signals, Wi-Fi signals, television signals. But you can't hear any of it unless you're tuned into it.
Yes.
And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is at work and doing in our life. And he's been at it all along from the day that we were born to make us receptive, to be able to tune in to where we're able to hear his still small voice, because that's how we live. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we've got to live by that word and tune into it. And so that's what it means to be receptive, and what I mean by receptivity.
Well, and that goes right into my next question. Is chapter 8, I had the book open right to that point. You mentioned it. Is, you know, the title is Heed How You Hear. And again, the wrestling match for so many believers is, I can't hear. God's quiet. God's silent. I can't hear anything. When in fact, it's not a matter of God being quiet, but it's really being aware of how we are hearing, how we posture ourselves to hear. I love the illustration you gave with Raven Hill and Steve Hill. I mean, my goodness, I feel like God is summoning people. You know, it's almost like, tell me if this makes any sense. It's like so many of us sometimes, it's like we need a new word from God. I need a word on my purpose, on my destiny, or God, you know, what do you want to do with me? And that's all good. Just letting you all you know out there, that's okay. It's okay to want that. But I feel like perhaps in this hour, one of the greatest things God wants are people who don't come to him just because they want to hear a word for their life, although it's needed. But you really call people, Daniel, in this book, to the secret place. And I believe that is the thing that calibrates how we hear from God. It's not, I want to hear God just so I can get direction or wisdom or understanding, because then it's like, I'm hearing God to get what I want. And he wants to speak to you. But even more than God speaking to you is you being in his presence. So I, Daniel, can you speak to that for a minute? Because I love that chapter. It really flows so nicely with heeding how you hear, and then also living in this place, the secret place. Why is intimacy and closeness with God so important to hearing him?
You know, and to me, one of the stories in scripture that just makes me as jealous as can be, and I think that it should, and I love the way that it's written in there, is when it says that Moses spoke to God as a man would speak to a friend face to face. you know, whenever I read that, my spirit gets a divine jealousy in it that says, I want that kind of relationship with the Lord where whenever I sit down, he comes and it's just face to face with us. And Moses, who's credited as the writer of Psalm 91, you know, I think almost it's as if we get a page out of the journal of Moses. You know, I've got a journal that I keep that, you know, I put in my little thoughts that, you know, that God gives me as I spend time in prayer, and many people do that. I feel like Psalm 91 might just be a page right out of Moses' prayer journal.
Yeah.
And it begins so beautifully by saying, you know, that he who dwells in the secret place, you know, he who dwells, that word dwell means the place that you live. It's like your home. It's the place that you've chosen to take up residence. And he says, he who dwells in a secret place, and otherwise the place that's hidden. And he says that of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And the word that he uses there is Elohim, which is the Most High God. And so I love this picture of a person who's chosen to live their life hidden in the obscurity of how wonderful and great God is. In other words, he's the one who's supreme and I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm okay with being tucked away and hidden inside of that spot. And then he says this. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. That word abide means to stay the night. It means to rest.
Mm.
It's not a place of longevity. It speaks of the brevity of the night. It speaks of intimacy.
Mm.
You know, so he shall abide what? Beneath the shadow of the Almighty. And you get that idea of a rock. In fact, Psalm 91 really paints that picture really well of being tucked away into the cleft of a rock. Oh, you see that picture of Moses when he says, Lord, I want to see your glory. And the Lord says, you can't see my glory. It'll kill you. But I'm going to tuck away a place for you in the cleft of a rock. And I'm going to hide you inside of that place. I'm going to pass by and I'm going to proclaim my name. And then you're going to be able to glimpse me. You know, well, this is that abiding moment. This is that moment of intimacy for Moses. And, you know, Moses says, you know, so he who chooses to live his life hidden in the obscurity of the Lord gets to rest and abide in that place of the El Shaddai. And the El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one, the one who gives me every single thing that I need. You know, whatever I need is going to be found flowing from him, flowing from that rock. Well, you and I know exactly what that secret place is. It's Christ.
Yeah.
Christ is that cleft in the rock, that place that God carved out to where you and I could hide ourselves in him, that we might see him and that we might find him. And inside of that place, whenever we choose to truly submit our life and come to that place of intimacy, we find everything that we need.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my challenge to the reader, my challenge to everyone that's listening today is really to begin to cultivate that secret place, because we all have them. We all have a secret place. We all have a spot that we go running to when the trials of life come, whenever things start falling apart. There's some place that you run. It might be your job, your career, your hobby. It might be the bar. It might be entertainment, television, a relationship. What it needs to be is the Lord.
Yes.
Because that's what we are created for, is to find ourselves in a place where we come and we find ourselves hidden in the obscurity of who he is. And there in that place, we find every single thing that we need.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good, Daniel, because, again, I think that's one of the places, that's the place where ultimately we will be, like that illustration, where we'll be so close to him, so near to him, that we will hear the words that are coming out of his mouth. Daniel, would you mind, as we end, would you pray for our listeners? And, you know, let me just preface this. We can agree with you and we can pray for you. And we're coming alongside of you to see your ears unlocked and for you to hear God in a greater way. But really, I think there's a summons being extended to you, an invitation, and that is to draw near to God. It is to draw near to him. He will draw near to you, it's promised. And I do encourage you, this book, Receptivity, it's a real guidebook. It's a real guidebook, and it's so encouraging because it reminds you God is always speaking, and he wants to position you to learn how to not only hear him once in a while, not just when you're in a good service or a revival meeting, not just when he gives you a prophetic word or a word of knowledge. Hearing God is a lifestyle, and I believe God is inviting you into that. So, Daniel, would you mind praying for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lord, I lift up those that are listening right now by way of internet or radio or podcast. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them. Lord, that you would lead them into that place, that divine place, Lord, of intimacy with you. I believe that it is your desire to foster and have a relationship, Lord, that just ignites the prayer life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would set it upon fire in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And if they don't know you, I pray, Lord, that you would call them to you in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you so much, Daniel. And for those of you who want to connect with Daniel, you can go to danielknorris.com. It's danielknorris.com. It'll let you know what his speaking schedule is, how you could book him for your event, for your church service, a little more information about him, and the book Receptivity. So I really believe it is a due season message for the body of Christ, and you will be blessed by that. And again, thank you so much, Daniel, for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Such an honor, and thank you, Larry, as well.
No problem. And for all of our Voice of Destiny listeners, I'm not quite sure if we're going to have another program or a podcast before Christmas, so I want to take this moment to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. And, you know, I have a couple minutes here just to let you know that, to me, Christmas, I think of the song Joy to the World, Let Earth Receive Her King. Please, please, please do not go through the season. It's so easy to do it, as I have done many times. And we get caught up in the trappings. We get caught up in the fast-paced busyness. And we even get caught up in good traditions. None of that's bad. But don't miss, really, the invitation of the Lord in this season. It is a time, it is one of the only times on the planet when, really, nations pause and actually pay attention to the reality of Jesus. So really, let's seize and steward the season well. And I love it because I really think there's so much parallel how you receive Christmas, how we receive Christmas, how Mary received Christmas. It's really how we receive revival. Because Mary birthed the ultimate revival with Jesus. And what did she say? She simply said yes. Was it messy? Did she bear reproach? Was it difficult? Yes, but she said yes to God anyway. And I want to encourage you, there's no greater thing than saying yes to him. Because I tell you, that's one of the things that will usher you into a lifestyle of exactly what we were just talking about, being receptive to his voice. He's always speaking, but he's looking for those who say yes to him, no matter what the cost, and follow him with all of their lives. So I just bless all you guys and just wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We look forward to a whole new season of Voice of Destiny starting in January.
This has been the Voice of Destiny, your trusted source for the latest spirit-filled resources for your everyday life. Thanks again for listening.
All right.